we hope that we can be an encouragement to you. And if you're from the local area and you're looking for a place to just be every time the doors of this building are open for a worship service or anything else, or any other activity that this congregation has, you just come get involved in it. We really appreciate you being with us. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know. We're thankful for our members. A lot of our folks are sick, away on spring break, and that'll continue for another week or so as spring break comes a little later for other institutions and things, and there'll be others of our number who are away. We want to remember all of them in our prayers as they travel and for their safety and that they'll come back to us safe. And then for those who are sick, Roger and Sandra have been sick this week. I saw Kayla yesterday, and she said that they both have had the stomach bug and are still getting over that. So we need to remember them, and we have a lot of others. Remember our sister Sheila. She's in the rehab now, Salem Place Rehab in Conway, and will be there for a while, getting her strength back, and just got a lot going on. We need to remember Sheila in our prayers as well. Before we get into our lesson, let me just mention a few things, and that way I won't have to worry you with anything else later on. Generally, on the last Sunday evening of the month, we celebrate birthdays of the individuals who's enjoyed a birthday or during that month. We're going to move it up a week. It'll be next Sunday evening, and my family is hosting it. My sisters are hosting it. Mom will turn 80 next Saturday. We'll turn like 80s old. That's not old, is it? Not to anybody but me. But when you're 20, you know, 30's old when you're 20, you know. But Mom will turn 80, and we wanted to celebrate. We want y'all to come, and we'll recognize all those others, because there are a lot of others who are having birthdays in the month of March as well. But my sisters and family and stuff will be here next Sunday evening, and they're providing the cake, and I think Beverly might be providing the drinks, right? They just take care of stuff, and they say, "Will you come?" I usually, if they tell me to come, I try to show up. So they're in charge of everything. You just come and enjoy that time with us next Sunday evening. Got off to a great start with our online Bible study last Thursday evening. Doug did a great job in leading us in that. If you're interested in it, we just get together. You sit in the privacy of your home. Get on your little device. And whatever it is, computer, your cell phone, whatever, you probably need to be connected to Wi-Fi because you're going to be using your data. But you just make a few clicks, join us in a Bible study for about 40 minutes. It just lasts for 40 minutes, and then the computer shuts you off unless you go back and re-click and get back in. If you don't want to do that, you got a good excuse to just, you know, go to bed, okay? But it starts at 8 o'clock. If you're interested, hold up your hands. Heather, Doug, Vanessa, those right back there on the back seat, that's who you need to see. You need to give them your email address or your cell phone number, whatever device you're going to be using. And then just at 8 o'clock, you just make a few clicks on some links there. And at 8 o'clock, Thursday evening, we're going to be going into a study of the book of James, chapter 1. We looked at all the women we wanted to look at last week. We're going into James chapter 1 starting this week. So you get involved in that. It'll be a great study for us. You'll just enjoy it. You'll just enjoy it being a part of that. This coming Tuesday evening at 5:30 is the fellowship meal. Be hosted by the downtown Morrilton congregation at 5:30. There is a cost. It costs you $6. Someone has to provide you food. Now, I dare say you go get a better meal for $6 and tell me where it's at, and throw in the fellowship and the good singing that goes with it. It'll be well worth your time and well worth your $6. If you want to go, though, you need to say something to me so we can let them know how many of us are planning to come. And if you want to ride together, we need to make arrangements to do that. So if I don't hear from you, I'm assuming you're not going. If I don't hear from you now, don't assume. Well, I've gone every month. Don't assume anything. Don't assume anything. I'm going to assume you're not going if you don't say anything. So I need to hear from you if you're planning to go this coming Monday. You men, if you want to go be involved in a great Bible study in the morning at 10 o'clock at the building of the Greenbrier congregation, we call it a preacher's meeting, but there's as many who are not preachers as are preachers who will be there. And boy, we got a great teacher. I'm just anxious to see what we're going to study and learn tomorrow. Thomas Martin is going to be leading our study tomorrow morning. We'll have a devotional together, and then Thomas is going to lead us in a study, and then the ones who can will go out to eat. If you're free and can go 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'd just love for you to show up. If you want to try to ride with some of us, you better make sure you say something to us. We'll help you get there and everything. Over the last few weeks, whether you realize it or not, we've been talking about heaven. We've been talking about how to go there. That's what the church is all about, isn't it? That's what the church is all about. The church is the saved. The church is the ones who make up heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. Yes or no? Y'all already gone to sleep? Wake up. Come on. That's all the church is. The church is heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. It's the saved. We've been talking about heaven. And we've just been encouraging each other. Let's just go to heaven. We've been talking about how to do it. We do it by building our lives on the rock solid foundations of Jesus' teaching. Not just hearing it. Not just hearing his teaching. But then doing it. Because that's what Jesus said. That's the man who builds his house on the rock. The one who hears my teachings, my sayings, and does them is like the man. Anything else is like building on sinking sand. And so we want to be sure we don't add to the teachings of Jesus. We want to be sure we don't take away or subtract from the teaching of Jesus. Let's just build our lives on the rock solid teachings of Jesus Christ. We'll be saved by doing the things that he says. We'll be saved. We'll stay saved. We'll be heaven on earth. The heaven on earth will be the heaven in heaven someday. I thought, what a great thought. Heaven. Let's just continue that, okay? By talking a little bit about heaven. About heaven. Dan is going to keep up with us, so I'm just going to talk. You know, I don't like this PowerPoint stuff. Beverly said, I like it, you make it. So, hey, because when I do this PowerPoint, I kind of have to stay with it. When I don't, I can just do whatever I want. Y'all don't know the difference, do you? But we're going to stay with it. We're going to stay with it. Heaven. We're talking about heaven. You know, every congregation of the Lord's church is an outpost of heaven. I want to say that to you again. Every congregation of the Lord's church is an outpost of heaven. Philippi, the one you read about in the Bible. Philippi, Caesarea. They were said to be outposts of Rome. In other words, when you visited Philippi or you visited Caesarea, you could imagine this is Rome. It's operated the same way Rome operated. It's conducts its business the same way Rome conducts its business. It was an outpost of Rome. Well, folks, every congregation of the Lord's church is an outpost of heaven. Heaven, more than any other way. I may preach on this someday. But heaven, more than any other picture of heaven, is described as an assembly. And you read Revelation chapter 7. And there was a number which no man could number of every kindred, tongue, and language of the earth. It's an assembly. It's an assembly. And when we assemble, we're gaining strength from, we're being with one another. We're an outpost of heaven. This ought to be. Our assemblies ought to be a little taste of heaven. Every time we get together, we're an outpost of heaven. And every church, the entire church, every member of it is on a mission trip from heaven to earth to gather souls, other souls, to take to heaven. That's the reason the wise man would say in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because that's what you're down on earth to do. That's what you're there to do. You see, our citizenship is not on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Every Christian is an alien here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. Lance Havner said, I'm homesick for heaven. It's the hope of dying that's kept me alive this long. It doesn't take much to get homesick for heaven. Beverly and I were talking about it this morning. Makes you want to go to heaven, doesn't it? Some things that happened in our family overnight make you want to go to heaven, doesn't it? It doesn't take much to get you homesick for heaven. I mean, everything that we hold near and dear, think about it, folks, everything that we hold near and dear is either on the other side or soon will be. Think about it. Is either on the other side or soon will be. As I pointed out to you, this earth's not our home. Our home's in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. Our home is in heaven. He's behind. Go ahead, Dan. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. Paul puts it this way, for our citizenship is heaven, whence we look for a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. From whence we look for a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our names are enrolled there. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out 70, told them to only go to the house of Israel. They come back, they tell Jesus, even the demons were subject unto your name. Jesus says, I know. I saw Satan falling from heaven as lightning from the sky. And I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, he says, rejoice not in this. Rejoice not in this, that the demons are subject unto you, but that your names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20. Our names are there. Our affections are set there. Colossians chapter 3. But set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Our affections are set there. It doesn't take much to get me homesick for heaven. It doesn't take much to get you homesick for heaven. Our affections are set there. Our hearts are there. Well, we've been laying up treasures in heaven ever since we became Christians. We've been laying up treasures in heaven, or we should have been. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And he told us why to do that. He said, because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. You look forward to the day when you don't have to wake up and worry about, has someone kicked in my door? Come home, has someone been in my house? Has someone taken some stuff? It makes you want to go to heaven, doesn't it? Thieves can never break through and steal those treasures I've been laying up in heaven. And because I got treasures in heaven, that's where my heart is. Doesn't take much to get me homesick for heaven. For heaven. Well, that's where our great reward is. Jesus says, blessed are you. When men revile you and they persecute you and they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, he said, and be exceedingly glad. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And great is your reward in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And great is your reward in heaven. You know, it doesn't take much to get you homesick for heaven. I mean, and the older you get, more and more of those people that you hold dear and that you love so much, more and more of them are on the other side. Till eventually you get to the point where you just want to just go be with them. Just go be with them. That's what Lance Habner was talking about. That's what he was talking about. He was sick. He was on his deathbed. I'm homesick for heaven, he said. Well, it's the hope of dying. That's kept me alive this long. All my friends, he'll say in his book, all my friends, at least most of them, have already gone to the other side. I'm now living with people that I don't much know, and they don't care to know me. I'm older than they are. I'm homesick for heaven. Doesn't take much to get us homesick for heaven, does it? Doesn't take much to get us homesick for heaven. You know, folks, the Bible is crystal clear about the church's destiny. The church's destiny is that we are heaven bound. I want to remind you of that. We are heaven bound. Let me just go through a few passages of scripture with you. In that great chapter about the resurrection, where Paul says that, you know, Jesus was just the first fruit of the resurrection. Every one of us is going to be raised. Every one of us. Flesh and blood, it can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so this mortal must put on immortality. You know, the carnal has got to put on the invisible. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the hereafter. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the church. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. That's our destiny. Heaven is our destiny. We're going to be delivered up to God, even the Father. You may want to look at this one. This is in the Old Testament. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we know it as chapter 12. Wasn't always in chapters and verses. We know it as chapter 12. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, before the difficult times come. That's what he's talking about. And he goes on to enumerate what it's like to be old. He does it in the language of a poet. But he's talking about, you know, what it's like to get older. The legs, they get weaker. They tremble at the least little thing. They tremble. The least little exercise, the least little exhortation, you know, exertion on your legs, they tremble a little bit. The arms, they become weak. They're weaker. He talks about the eyes. He says they become darker. He discusses them as if being windows. The ears, you can't hear it thunder, but the least chirp of a bird bothers you. What was that? You become afraid to get up on anything that has any height to it at all. You don't want to climb anymore. You get to where you're afraid to go out. You just want to sit in your house and just stay in your house. You get afraid to go anywhere and to do anything. I just prefer to stay home. He's describing what it's like to get old. He'll finally get down into verse number 5 and he'll say, "And man goeth to his long home, but the mourners, they go out into the street." Man goeth to his long home. That's the way he's describing heaven. It's our long home. It's eternity. It's our long home. I didn't put it on there, but you check me out. In the 6th verse, he describes what it's like to die. Again, he does it in poetic terminology. He says, "If e'er the silver cord be loosed." That's what dying is like. It's like a cord, a silver cord, a precious cord that's been tied in a slip knot, if you will. And you pull that knot and it comes loose and man goes to his long home. "If e'er the silver cord be loosed," he describes it as a golden bowl, precious. Or a golden bowl be broken. It's like a bowl that is precious. Have you ever had something that was precious to you and, you know, you're just trying to maybe clean around it or and you just pick it up and you're trying to be so careful when it slips out of your hands and it's broken? That's what he's picturing for us. "Or the golden bowl be broken, or a pitcher is broken at the well." A pitcher, not a picture, a pitcher of water, full of water, and it's broken at the well and the water runs out. He's talking about dying. "Or the wheel be broken at the cistern." Some have translated it, "If the pulley be broken at the cistern." Young people, you're too young to remember. There was a time when we had to go to the well and we pushed back the lid of the well and there was a long bucket deal, and we let it down into the down into the water by a rope over a pulley and drew that water. "If e'er the wheel at the cistern," maybe it is the pulley. That's the way some have decided to translate it. Others have talked about that. We had the dug well at our house for years. We had the dug well and we had a huge lid over the top of it. And they're talking about that lid. That's what the Lord is talking about, is that lid maybe. And you'd push that lid back and then you'd let down into the well to get a drink. And the lid has been broken and crumbled and fallen down into the well. He's talking about death. "If e'er the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the well, or the wheel at the cistern." Then he says, verse number 7, "When you die, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. But the spirit shall return to God who gave it." That's our destiny. The spirit shall return to God who gave it. Our destiny is heaven. Go ahead, let's see that next slide. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14, here's the way the New Testament writer. The Old Testament writer, Solomon, Ecclesiastes, we just looked at. Listen to how the New Testament writer describes it. "For if we believe," folks, maybe the better translation, probably you're probably reading it like this, "since we believe." Because really, folks, think about it. That's probably a better translation. Because does it really matter whether I believe it or not? Is the Lord coming back? Did the Lord die and rise again? Did he? What if I believe it? He did. What if I don't believe it? He still did. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus, or have already died in the Lord, or sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? In other words, God's not going to leave them in the grave. God's going to bring them with him. He's going to bring them to himself. For this we say, listen to this, for this we say by the word of the Lord. What's Paul saying there? This is not my opinion, Paul's saying. This is not my opinion. This is what the Lord says. This is the way it is now. Don't wonder about it. We used to watch a television show, didn't we, Mark? And the guy'd say, you can take this to the bank. Everything, you can take it to the bank. That's what he's saying. This is the way it is. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. If the Lord came back today, those of us who are alive are not going to keep those who have already died ahead of us in the Lord and are in those graves. We're not going to keep this from happening. It's their destiny. But it's ours too if we're still alive. Because look at the next slide. This is the next two verses. Look. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The Lord from heaven will descend with a shout. With a shout, you think you'll miss it. You think you're not going to hear it. No, he's coming with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. We're all going to hear this. We're not going to miss it. We're all going to hear this. Listen to this. And with the trump of God. Had a whole lot more in that thought within and with the trump of God than maybe we ever think about. I might preach on this someday. You read in the Old Testament, the trumpet was always, always used to call an assembly. You blow on that, you hear the sound of a trumpet, you come. You come. You know, I guess if you transferred it over into the generation just before us, maybe the one just before that, there was always a call to an assembly. I can take you to a building of the Churches of Christ which still has the bell tower, and they still ring that bell every Sunday morning. It's a call to an assembly. In the Old Testament, there was a trump. With that trump is a call to an assembly. Everyone comes. Everyone comes. See, heaven's going to be like a great assembly. All that are in the grave are going to be raised. And they're going to come. And all of us who are still alive are going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we. All those before, all those still alive, be together with the Lord forever. In the air. It's a great assembly. I don't quite understand why we don't enjoy our assemblies more than we enjoy them. It's a foretaste of heaven. Listen to him now. Well, go back. Listen to him. In case you think I'm making this up, always check me out. Don't. It's not. I don't know anything about this stuff except what I read. And you can't either. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Doesn't take much to get me homesick for heaven. That's my destiny. How about yours? That's our destiny. It's heaven. And so we're encouraging one another. Let's just go to heaven. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's just go to heaven. Let's just go to heaven. Now listen. That's a challenge. Make no doubt about it, that's a challenge. It's a challenge to go to heaven. You know, it's a challenge to live as an alien in a foreign country. It's a challenge. I've visited foreign countries. I remember one time making a trip, and a brother who attended with us at that time named Don Box traveled with me. Back in those days, years ago, every one of those little Latin American countries had their own airline, and you could fly cheap. And we flew cheap. We had Costa Rica, but flew a Pan American airline, and it stopped at every little country along the way. And we were to change planes in Sao Paulo, Honduras. Just a little grass airstrip looking thing. And as that plane landed, we looked out those windows. There were tanks under camouflage on either side of that runway. We're to change planes in this place. You know, when you change planes, anytime I've changed planes in Atlanta, and I've flown into there many times, or Houston, and I've flown into there many times, or Dallas, I've flown into there many times. You get off that plane, you go into the terminal, you wait around a while, hopefully your plane's on time, you get on the next plane. I think that's what it's going to be like. We fly into that grass airstrip. Everyone remains seated. Everyone remains seated. The next thing we know, the door opens. Everyone remains seated. Two soldiers come on board with weapons strapped over their shoulders. And they call two names, David Riley, Don Box. I could see the headlines now. Church of Christ preacher kidnapped in Honduras. David Riley, Don Box. I'm thinking, don't say a word, Brother Box. Let them figure us out. But we're the only North Americans on the plane. So we were goners. I'm an alien in a foreign country. It's hard to be an alien in a foreign country. Now, they were just protecting us. There was warfare going on around the airport. They were just protecting us. They let us down across the tarmac to the other plane and put us on it. Didn't want to chance us going into that terminal. It's hard living as an alien in a foreign country, isn't it? It's not easy living down here as a citizen of heaven, is it? This is not easy. This is challenging. Go ahead. This is challenging. It's hard to live where you're not wanted. It's hard to live where basically you're not wanted. Don't talk to us about your God. Don't talk to us about that Lord Jesus Christ. I can't believe you believe it. Hey, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It is. It's challenging to hold on when every day you have to fight. Not to be sucked into the culture. Not to be sucked in to the world you're living in. To be an outpost of heaven. Instead of being like the world. To be different. To be different because you're not a citizen of this world. That's a challenge. It's a challenge to fight every day when the world is saying, be like us, be like us, be like us. It's not easy. It's not easy to keep coming back and saying, this is the teachings of Jesus. Even when some in Christianity are saying, yeah, that's the teachings of Jesus, but you know, you don't really think there'd be anything wrong with adding this, do you? It's hard to say, but that's sinking sand, isn't it? Here's the teachings of Jesus. Yeah, but there wouldn't be anything wrong with removing that. That seems rather old-fashioned to us. That seems rather antiquated. Let's remove that. It's a challenge to say, but wait. To do that is to be on sinking sand. I choose to build my life on the rock-solid foundations of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Well, you're just a Bible thumper. You're just an old moss back reading from a Bronze Age book. Can't believe. You need to come to the 21st century and live with us. It'll never be easy as long as we're on this earth. It'll never be easy as long as we're aliens in this foreign land. It'll never be easy, but it'll be worth it, folks. It'll be worth it. Let me end with this passage for you. Found in Romans chapter 8. You remember that Romans chapter 8 chapter? You love that chapter, don't you? It begins with something like this. It begins the same. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Later in this same chapter, in Romans chapter 8, he's going to say this. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Nay, but in all things, he'll say later, nay, but in all things we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8. Right there in the middle of it. Listen to him, folks. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If so be that we remain distinct and don't get sucked into the culture, don't get pulled away by the lure and enticement of the world. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs of Christ. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Whatever it takes to build your life on the rock-solid foundation of God's Word will be worth it, won't it? It will be worth it. Whatever you have to suffer, whatever you have to experience, whatever you have to endure, it will be worth it. It'll be worth it. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen? It'll surely be worth it all. And so let's go to heaven. Let's just go to heaven. We know how. Listen to Jesus and do his teachings. Listen to him and do his teachings. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he said, John 14:6. We know how. Listen to Jesus. Do his teachings. For some of us, that may be, probably is, even in this group, involves becoming a disciple of his. Just getting started, if you want to think about it like that, with him. I don't mean that you don't believe in him, but it's time you started doing what he says now. Doing what he says. I mean, how much clearer could Jesus make it? Luke 6:36. Why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? And for some of us, it means doing what he says in order to become one of his disciples. He's pretty clear about it. Except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. I mean, you'd have to have a preacher help you misunderstand that. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. you're going to perish. You're going to have to be baptized. Why? Because the preacher said? No, because Jesus said. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. And for some of us, building your life on the rock starts right there. It started there with all of us, folks, but it starts right there. It starts right there. And some of you are ready. And some of you are waiting. Some of you need to do that this morning. Let's go to heaven, okay? And then there are those of us who have made that start. We've made that beginning. We need to continue to build our lives on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ, hearing His teachings and doing them. There may be some of us, though. There may be some of us that have let the world do the leading instead of Jesus doing the leading. We've listened to them. We've listened to the world. Come be like us. Come be like us. Live like us. You don't want to do that. Come do it. Come on. We've allowed the world to lead us. We need to return to Him. We need to repent. We need to ask His forgiveness. We need to come home so we can go home. And so we're about as an outpost of heaven, called as an assembly, encouraging one another in this way. Let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. Let's help one another. We'll help you become a Christian this morning, or we'll help you as a Christian to come home, whatever your needs are. You can let us know if you have those needs by making your way to the front. Do that now. It's together we stand and sing.